Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are already at the 6th of September. Coming on 9/11, and the market seems to be impervious to any sort of bad news.
Yeah. You know, I call this the Hakuna Matata market. It's
what does that mean?
No worries. No worries for the rest of your days. Problem free.
So I was watching all the shows today to try to figure out what's going on. And these guys just make it up as they go along, these analysts. But
yeah.
But it seems to be, it's like, well, you know, there's no place else to put your money except here. So you might as well just get used to it kind of thing. Which I've heard that excuse before, which is, well, the only reason it's going up is because it's the only stable market in the world. And, of course, that's always the last thing you hear before it collapses.
Well, I mean, I think the general consensus out there is that, you know, that is the consensus that, yeah, you can't put it anywhere else. You might as well put it here. But I don't know if that's the best philosophy in life, right?
It's not a very good philosophy at all.
Right. It doesn't seem to be, you know.
It's
well,
like settling. It's settling.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I can't do anything
else. Might as well just marry her. You're not going to do any better.
Right. Exactly. Well, so I'll just go there. But now the summer is over. People are putting away their white patent leather shoes and their white pants. I'm sure you're folding yours up and putting the little shoe trees in yours.
Yeah.
Right? Is that happen out by you anymore? Is it you see people walking around with white patent leather shoes?
And I haven't seen a pair of white shoes in the Bay Area probably for, I'm thinking, close to 20 years.
That's good.
White belt, same thing. You do see a white jacket once in a while, not so much the white pants.
Yeah.
I have a white jacket. I got it in Korea. It's really nice. Hot looking. Linen jacket.
Like a dinner jacket.
Well, no, there's a white linen, more casual than dinner. Looks terrific, though.
I'm sure it does. Yeah. So, but what else were they saying? That's it? They were just saying there's nowhere else to go?
Yeah. Pretty much all in agreement. And then they also said that whatever happens to the Fed, if they just do anything at all, nobody knows how everyone's going to react. They can't figure out whether the 10-year is going to go up or down in terms of the interest rate.
Right, but still the best place to put your money is the markets. Just keep on putting in the markets.
The large caps.
Large cap markets, okay. Well, we did see some economic news that was interesting. We saw that even though we did see a miss on the jobs number, the report came in on Friday.
I thought it was a big miss.
I thought so. I mean, I think expectations were a lot higher. You know, that we saw...
Yeah, they're talking a big game about it. It was just pretty much a neutral report.
Yeah. Right, exactly. There wasn't necessarily any good or bad. It was a good report if you didn't have the expectations so high. I would think. 151,000 versus expectations of 171,000.
Yeah, that's just 151,000 is a standstill.
No, it's not going backwards.
No, but it's just a replacement. It doesn't mean anything's happened. It means nothing's going on. To me.
Yeah, and the bulls got into it. They're like, hey, well, this means that, you know, the Fed's going to hold off for longer. U.S. dollar dropped
yes,
pretty...
I heard that, too. And then you hear the one guy, there's always one lone guy, well, you know, they got to do something. So I think they're going to do something in December.
Yeah. We saw today on Friday also the ISM Manufacturing Index, which is the part of the economy that deals with manufacturing. So there's two components. There's the Manufacturing Index and there's the Service Index. So the manufacturing index came in below 50, showing contraction.
Right.
Which is the first time in some time. Now, the service index, everybody's like, don't worry about it, because the service index is about 70% of the overall economy. And that number's been really strong. That number has been like 55, 54. You know, it's been doing pretty well. So today, the ISM services index came out, which is the non-manufacturing, at 51.4, with expectations of 54.7. And again, July was 55.5.
Yeah.
So that's a disappointment as well.
Well, that's also damn near neutral.
That was the lowest in 6.5 years.
Wow. And that's like the majority of our of the economy. The would you like fries with that right. economy?
So with that, the market went up. And that was because the dollar plummeted again. And the idea is that the Fed is going to hold off longer. So now you got the ISM service. Here's confirmation. The ISM services was soft. The ISM manufacturing was soft. The employment number was soft. And boy, that's three pieces of really freaking good news.
Yep. Run it up.
Now, meanwhile, interestingly enough, the PMI, the Purchasing Managers Index, which is the equivalent to our Manufacturing and Services Index here in the UK, had one of its biggest jumps in years. As some of the, I guess it's post-Brexit and the concerns about...
Yeah, post-Brexit.
So everybody's like, it's over. We could breathe. We don't know what's going
to
happen.
Well, over. It's not over. They haven't even done anything. This whole thing looks like a scam to me.
Well, they're glossing it over until something happens. I think they'll just wait till the end when it happens.
Were they going to wait for the Trump thing or Hillary thing? And then there'll be a probably... I'm guessing that there'll be a reaction to the election. I don't know what kind of reaction, upside or downside. I'm kind of like, I know there's going to be a reaction. I don't believe the market's going to sit there and go do nothing after the election.
Either party have a bigger potential move than the other?
I think that the Democrats do.
You think that
I think the Democrats have it would be. I think if Trump got elected, this is just off. I'm not basing this on anything other than just a gut feel, which is as good as any of these analysts.
Yeah, sure.
I think if Trump gets elected, the market's going to take a hit, and then probably recover after I don't know how long, but the hit will be noticeable. If Hillary gets elected, I would put money on the market going up.
More of the same, and therefore we're happy.
Yeah, we're happy because there's no real change going on. I think it'll take a jump and then correct back down.
I mean, I think if Hillary comes in, you know, the healthcare companies and the biotechs in particular, and those companies that are distributing drugs for and making their profits grow exponentially over the years due to increasing
by jerking off the public with gouging.
Yeah, gouging. Exactly, yeah. Is going to be have further problems. So I think you can gauge that. Interestingly enough, I think today, by a couple of different polls, the race is now neck and neck. Somehow Trump either caught up or Clinton.
Yeah, it's nonsense. I don't pay any attention to these polls. They're all phony. Yeah,
but they're fun to talk about.
Yeah, that's what everyone does. They talk about to excess, but it just seems like wheel spinning to me.
Yeah.
We've already known because I think the Brexit was a good indicator. The polls never indicated that it was going to pass.
Right. Well, boy, was
until
that
the very end when it was passing. As it was passing, everyone's going, well, let's re-examine our numbers.
Yeah. That was a little bit off. There was a margin of error. We knew that it was a margin of error. We always say that, plus or minus.
Yeah.
So talk about spinning wheels. I mean, you have to, if you want to talk about the greatest wheel spinning event ever, it's got to be the G20 meetings that go on.
It was great.
You know, what did they talk about? Well, all the things they always talk about. We're going to use all the available tools to help prop up global growth, and we're going to avoid competitive currency devaluations. Of course, monetary policy alone can't be the only thing that we use as a tool for growth for our countries. We need to have fiscal and structural changes and blah, 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 blah. This is all that they came up with. Now, this is, at this point, nothing more than a form letter that they don't even change. This is exactly what they say all the time, and there's no teeth, and there's nothing that they can do besides blabber about it.
I think they just have these meetings so they can have meetings on the side with guys they otherwise wouldn't be able to get together with.
Oh, so they said...
Without making a big deal out of it. I mean, when you go to the G20, you're there with another... Not your Obama, let's say. He's there with another 19 leaders, and they can have little meetings without going through a rigmarole, because if you go to the country, you got to be greeted, and they got to roll out the red carpet, and cost a fortune, and taxpayers don't like it. But here you go and you meet, you have this phony, like you said, a phony meeting where they just say nothing and do nothing, and then everyone gets to kind of do these little side meetings, and then they go home and maybe get a lot accomplished. I don't know.
So you think somehow that all of a sudden,
like a drinking club,
these politicians are all of a sudden interested in saving money on travel and other?
No, I think I know it sounds stupid. Let's take it back then. Say it's not about the travel; it's the inconvenience versus the convenience.
Yeah,
I think it's inconvenient, for example, for Obama to go down and meet with Erdogan in Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
He has to fly down. That's not an easy flight for anybody, even in a big flying house. It's boring. It's a boring trip. And you get there, and then you got to go through a whole bunch. You have to have the dinner, and you got to do all this stuff. I think it's just a time killer that these guys decide, you know, we can get a lot more done in a very short period of time. This is like trade shows. You know, you can meet all your customers in 1 or 2 days and you're out of there. And I think this thing goes on for like 3 days and you can get a lot more done. That's my guess. I mean, I don't see any other reason to even have the thing.
Yeah. I mean, they could put out the same note and frankly, in today's world, why do you have to go somewhere and meet? Isn't this the whole thing about go to meeting and, you know,
yeah,
FaceTime and right. all that?
Just get a couple of computers.
Yeah. Just have a computer in front of everybody and just a big screen. Sit back
in
your office.
Yeah, for that kind of meeting. But for the secret meetings, the little meetings on the side, they really do have to be there. Yeah. I think that's what this is all about.
Now, I know you talked about this a little bit. I think you tweeted about this at The Real Dvorak. The red carpet, you mentioned that a moment ago, the whole, you know, rolling out the red carpet and all. It seems that something went wrong as all of the leaders got off their planes and this meeting was held in China. And the guys on the tarmac would bring up the ladders up to the planes and then the president and all their people would deplane and walk down the ladder onto the tarmac, and every plane was greeted by a red carpeted staircase.
Yeah.
Except for President Obama's.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that was an interesting snub.
Do you think that was,
they made him come out the crap hole in the back.
What is that about?
I think it was symbolic.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't think it was just a symbolic of what though?
Everyone's getting tired of this guy. I don't know what he's doing wrong, but he got the Philippine guy wouldn't meet with him. He was supposed to be going to call him a son of a bitch. And it was just a fiasco. I think it was humiliating in a lot of ways.
The funny thing is the Philippine guy, the president President Obama, by the way, canceled his visit with.
Yeah, Duarte.
He retracted or he apologized or said, I'm sorry if my comments were taken incorrectly.
yeah, it wasn't his fault. And he says that he always talks like that. And in fact, analysts say that he's always had a dirty mouth. And but no, that was really targeted. I heard him do it.
Now, also at the G20, we have to thank North Korea for the complimentary fireworks show. They fired 3 ballistic missiles off its east coast on Monday, I guess symbolically for another symbolic show. During the G20 summit, and I guess showing off their arsenal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now they have to rebuild their whole arsenal again.
Yeah, 3 gone.
Probably takes a year.
Yeah. So the other things that we learned from this, there was some other kind of, as you mentioned, side meetings of this. And of course, we had once again comments from the Saudi oil minister, which we had last week, if you remember.
Yep.
Talking about how, we're going to do what we can to create some kind of stability or production freeze. And that kind of threw out as soon as Iran and Iraq said, oh, no, thank you. We're not doing that. And that didn't work out. So prices came down almost immediately. Well, this one jolted the price of crude by about, I don't know, 4 or 5% back to about $46.5 for crude on the headline. And then all of a sudden, there was some realization that this plan they had, the stabilization of oil prices that was agreed upon by Saudi Arabia and Russia, was nothing more just some talk. There was no teeth, no written plan of action. There was nothing there. So oil was back down to 44 this morning until a little later, Iran now made comments that they're in agreement to stabilize oil prices. They reversed losses and closed near $45. That also was helped by the falling dollar after the ISM services index came in so poor, the dollar just crashed. But still, it's kind of funny how last week, just last week, Iran was saying, ah, we're going to pump. We're not going to deal with this. You know, we're going to pump to our maximum capacity. And now they're saying that they're in agreement that there should be some stabilization in oil prices. They're behind it. They agree.
Yeah, why did that happen?
I mean, what's the story with this? I mean, is this just going?
I wish I knew.
Is this going to rock the oil markets back and forth, back and forth? I think the sad thing is, and the truth,
maybe most of the money is going to be made from playing the oil price up and down.
Seems so. Maybe that's what these guys do. Have you thought about that?
Yeah, I always think about that when I see this kind of fluctuation.
Yeah, they buy the futures, they sell the futures, they kind of work the. Everybody, just listen up real quick. Excuse me. We are going to be making an announcement shortly. Make sure to get your trades in real quick. And then what's going to happen is we'll make another announcement that really gives the reverse of what we just said. So keep it there on for about an hour and a half to 2 hours. And then take off the trades and reverse them. Okay, everybody got that? Good. All right, we're going. That's kind of
If you had enough money, and they do, you could make a lot of extra money on the side just doing that.
Mm-hmm. Well, we saw an unfortunate incident. Unfortunately, nobody was hurt, but Elon Musk suffered another setback with the explosion of the SpaceX rocket last week off of Orlando.
Yeah.
Seems that the was one of the biggest explosions ever in that area.
A beauty.
Yeah, it was a big beauty. One. And something went terrible.
Blew up from the top down.
They were doing some kind of like pre-flight fuel check something or other, weren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
And just kaboom. So now,
yeah,
they were sending up a satellite.
Yeah, but I keep hearing that the satellite. One report is it's the Facebook satellite. Facebook wants to put a satellite over Africa,
mm-hmm.
in a geosynchronous orbit, I guess somewhere, and give internet. Connectivity, which of course on a satellite, off a satellite, it's terrible because of the latencies, but okay. For reading Facebook, it's not a bad thing. And then the other report was it was an Israeli satellite of some sort.
Was it both? Israeli Space Communications Limited. So I think that it's possible that maybe it was Facebook, first of all, doesn't build satellites. Right?
Right.
So maybe they hired Israel Space Communications Limited to build the satellite.
Could be.
And it was then holding Facebook, you know, it was meant for Facebook communications. Let's look at it that way. I believe that's something of what happened. Now, what's interesting about this is that the Israeli company is seeking $50 million or a free flight from Elon Musk's SpaceX program. And the other thing that's interesting to note is there's some discussion about you can actually buy insurance on, I guess, on the rocket, but on the satellite and maybe even on the rocket to some degree.
I would hope so.
Yeah. But that usually happens and kicks in. Let's say that if the rocket explodes somewhere after takeoff. So since this happened pre-flight, insurance.
I'm not buying any of this.
No, the whole thing.
No, it doesn't make any sense. If you're going to insure the rocket, you insure the rocket, and it's not like you'll insure the rocket 10 minutes into the flight and it's uninsured before then. It doesn't make any sense at all.
I think a lot of them
blow up on the pad.
Yeah, but on the pad, but during takeoff. This was not even part. When's the last time a rocket?
Has to be insured. You've got to get insurance for this whole process.
From beginning to end. I mean, what if it falls off the truck on the way to the launch pad?
It's insured. It's got to be insured.
Well, this is the...
It'd be malfeasance if you didn't have it insured for falling off the truck.
You got to wonder who those guys are that insure this and how much it costs for the insurance.
I'm sure the insurance is very expensive, and those guys are not the kind of guys that are inviting you to lunch.
Yeah.
Even though you're all in Florida.
Not the same guy that sells... It's not like State Farm where I buy... It's not that guy? Progressive isn't selling this stuff, huh? No. Well, this is the story in the news that's going around. So, there is
so
something.
Some people get, there's a story going around, which you would know better than I, that says that this thing wasn't insured for the specific event.
Yeah.
Wow.
That, there well,
that
may
would be good.
Yeah, that there's something about because it was pre-flight. It wasn't part of the, maybe there was a lesser amount of something or something like that. But there was a lesser amount of this that may not be paid. Okay, so.
Carelessness.
Well, we got one big day from now until less than a day now. Till the big announcement, the big, very big announcement from Apple, which seems to be
the 7th.
Less and less exciting. One of the things that. One of the things that somebody said something
I
this
forgot
morning,
all about it until you just mentioned
right,
it.
Exactly.
That's how exciting it is.
Exactly. Somebody was mentioning that the iPhone 7 pickup from China in particular may not be as exciting because this is very odd and bizarre. Because I think the number 8 is a lucky number in China.
Yes, it is. It's a massive lucky number. In fact, the license plate of 8 or even 88 or 888 commonly sell. I know in Hong Kong they have a separate plate, so they're different there. But in Hong Kong, where the money is, they commonly sell for millions of dollars.
Well, I wonder if some of the Chinese are going to say, you know, the 8 around the corner. I'm not going to buy this now. It's not if it's not that big of an upgrade from the 6, let's say, or the 6S. And I'm going to wait for the 8 to come out because that's the lucky one.
Actually, what you've pointed out may be a an extreme boost for the stock when the 8 does come out because I don't think anybody's thinking about this except you.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
but the Chinese would go gaga over the 8.
Right,
that's
exactly.
For sure.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe Apple will even skip the 7 and just go right to 8. I mean, like an elevator that skips certain floors.
That's what they should do.
That's what they should do.
But since they're having the event on the 7th, we're pretty sure that's not what's happening.
So we talked about this last week a little bit. I don't think there's any further speculation on what may or may not be included or not done. We don't think they're going to have wireless charging. We don't think they're going to have waterproofing. It's just going to be a little bit of a better of what it is now and maybe faster processor, maybe different memory configurations, maybe different colors, maybe camera.
Yeah, it looks like the colors thing is a go.
I don't know why that's such a big deal.
Well, it is when the colors have been just one color and then it became that, because that rosy color really took off, I guess.
Mm.
And so they're thinking, well, you know, cause it's not unusual to have these anodized colors on consumer electronic gear coming out of China and Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And that means you may see the yellow, you may see, I know there's supposedly a blue, which is very pretty. And I would say if they had the red, an anodized red, not that rosy thing, but a real red, that would be I'd get one of those. That'd be nice.
The problem I've always had with this is that, and I'll ask you this question, do you have a case on your phone?
No.
Oh. Well, a lot of people have cases on their phone.
It's because they're fumble fingers.
And if that's the case, though, don't you want to, does it matter what color you have?
No, you just get a colored case.
Yeah, you get a colored case. I have a white phone, and I have a black and white case. It's a very good, it's a very nice case. I needed a case.
Need a case?
Never. But I find it much easier to handle the large phone because there's a little bit of rubber on the back of the case, so it can hold in your hand. Especially when I'm driving.
And texting.
Much easier, you know?
Much easier to drive and text.
I hate when I drop my phone when I'm texting and driving. I got to reach down and get it, you know?
It's easier to get if it's got a big case on it. Yeah.
Okay, now Sears Holding Corp, there's a big announcement about Sears. This is their massive revelation on how to fix all that ails this store. You ready for this?
Okay, I'm all ears.
They're bringing back paint.
Because, Sears paint?
Yep. They're bringing back paint to stores due to the strong housing market and on the rise of the number of home improvement projects. Now, I don't know. I'm thinking this is a little bit late.
Yeah, I would think so.
They're
Sears
just paint. They're just noticing the strong housing market.
I remember years and years ago, Sears used to say that they're paint. You know, the key to good paint, because we're painting right now, so you know we've gone through different types of paint. We've finally settled on Sherwin-Williams.
Yep. Good stuff.
Yeah, my wife, who's a stickler about this, she was always, I was always a fan of Sherwin-Williams because when I was an air pollution inspector, I got to inspect the paint plant that used to exist in the Bay Area. They don't have the paint plant here anymore, but I went in there and I got a long bunch of lectures about paint and pigments. And I thought it was very educational. And it's the best of their brands. They got some, I don't know what there's like a brand name for this one type of paint. It's really absolutely true. You can do one coat.
Mm.
So if you're painting a room, you don't have to go back and start I missed the spot. You don't have to do any of that. It really does the job. It's pretty astonishing. And that saves you a lot of time.
I mean, but to bring paint.
I don't know how. That was a plug for Sherwin-Williams. We should get some free paint now.
Yeah. But now Sears, first they, I don't know what year they stopped selling paint.
But that tells you something right there.
Yeah. So the second thing
apparently was not a newsmaker. They must have, you know, dropped the ball on their paint business.
Right. But now they're going to bring it back because they noticed a good housing market and lots of home improvement projects. You gotta wonder what else they're thinking. Are they going to start selling Xbox games now because they think it's a hot area?
I mean, it's
like so ridiculous.
That is pretty ridiculous. Mm. If they think that's going to save the company.
Yep. The rollout will start in 23 stores before going nationwide. They can't even get this going nationwide. They're doing a test of it. They have to do a test.
Well, but the other thing is that's the overhead involved with setting up a paint store. You got to get those shaking machines. You got to get all this mixing gear so you can mix the different colors to make the paint you're looking for. And you got to mark. I think they're going to lose money on this idea. This is not a good thing. This is a bad thing.
Mm. Well, that would be right along with all of the
everything
other things
else they've done.
Exactly. So who knows? They'll end up getting rid of one of their best-selling items or something. That who knows? Is there a best-selling item? I don't know. The last couple of times I went to Sears, it was rather horrifying.
Well, they stopped. I think the stuff that they had was good. They had the Craftsman tools were always had a high reputation. I think they let that slide, mm-hmm. Bring in Chinese stuff. Their appliances, some of them in particular, their dishwashers, always had a high reputation.
Yeah, the Kenmore.
But I had a guy come out the other day. I have a Kenmore dishwasher. And I think to go as another side story, but I had this theory because we had this very expensive Thermidor dishwasher. I don't even think they make them anymore. Highest pressure in the world and stainless steel every which way. It's beautiful. And it was just, but when it ran, and it was high pressure, and this pressure was so high that it would blow out the whole system. And you had to bring somebody in to fix it, even though it was under warranty. Very inconvenient. And it was noisy because it had all this, stainless steel. It's ringing and it sounds like a rocket ship taking off when you get the thing going. So I went in just the opposite direction. I went with the plastic interior because it has a softer sound. It doesn't make a lot of, you don't even know it's running. And I went with the fundamental, no electronic stuff, just
the dial.
Mechanical stuff. And it would turn out to be the cheapest of many of the dishwashers available. And it works forever. But I did have to get one repair done. The guy comes out. He's from Sears. He says, well, I had it's got a food grinder in it, my dishwasher, for the stuff that comes washing off. It goes through and gets ground up and washed away down the drain. He says, they don't even put that in anymore. He says, you should keep this one. The new ones aren't that good. Goes on and on about it. And I'm thinking, geez, well, that doesn't sound right. You have a good product, and next thing you know, you're cheapening it.
I have a Whirlpool dishwasher.
Yeah.
This is true. First of all, it doesn't wash for crap. You have to wash everything before you put it in. I've had other dishwashers you can put in. I don't care what you put in there. It washes the dishes. Okay?
Yeah, mine does that.
The other night, my mother's over, and she starts putting in forks and knives into the dishwasher that she doesn't like clean first. I said, Mom, you can't do that. She goes, what do you mean? Putting in the dishwasher. I said, no, you got to clean them first. She goes, what are you talking about? I said,
what's the point? I don't blame her for asking these questions.
I understand this. I'm telling you, if you do not, then they said, well, the reason is you got to put the rinse stuff in it. This blue liquid in this.
Yeah.
I said, okay, I'll do that, because they would come out dirty and then also spotted and terrible, never dried, never. So I put the blue stuff in. I got that going and all that. But still, to this day, honestly, I hardly ever use the dishwasher.
Your machine needs to be fixed. It's no good.
Terrible, terrible machine. It runs forever.
Yeah, bring out the repair guys and have them fix it.
It runs forever and it doesn't clean. Like it's the longest cycle ever.
Running out. You know the problem. I'll tell you what it is. Low pressure. That's because there's a gasket or something that's broken. You need to bring a repair guy out. You can fix it. The thing will work like a champ.
You know, I have a guy coming out Thursday. Maybe I'll have him take a look. Seriously.
Yeah, okay. Well, have him take a look.
Yeah, because he charged me $88 to come out anyway.
If you're not getting your dishes clean from a good dishwasher, and Whirlpool, whatever I think is what you said, is not a bad product. So it's something broken.
Yeah. I have to check it out. I have a question for you or our listeners. This is coming from someone I know, and they're asking me to ask our listener base and you. If you have an idea for a suggestion for a small, economical city car, like the smart car or street legal golf car, there's one I saw recently called, I don't remember the name. It's a three wheeler. But, you know, this friend of mine's getting, actually, he's getting $16,000. Back from Volkswagen for his Volkswagen in the settlement. They're paying him $16,000. And he wants to get something like small. Do you know of any cars like that? Do you have any, you know, offbeat?
I do know a guy who owns a smart car, and I've been around in it. It's not bad. It's not bad. It's actually not a bad car, but I wouldn't take one on the freeway. They look like they're unstable, although they're not. There's a couple of little cars that guys have got. The little Chevy is kind of nice. It's a really dinky little thing. Get a Ford Fiesta. Just forget it and get a Ford Fiesta if you want a little car.
Really?
That's a nice car.
Yeah, he's talking about getting a street legal golf cart or something like that. Really, he wants it to be like ridiculous, like really, really small, just, you know, good on gas. But I mean, I said to him,
Get a Fiesta. It's super small. And, you know, and it's a real car, and you don't have to worry about taking it to a golf store or whatever. You have to get the thing fixed.
Yeah.
They can fix it.
I'm going to Palm Springs Golf Resort. Why, honey? I need the car fixed. I need my car fixed.
My car fixed. You got a garage in there. I can fix the golf cart.
Anybody wants to let me know, you can tweet me this. Any idea for a very small, economical city car, like a smart car or something like that. If there is something out there, just send me a tweet. At Andrew Horowitz, one word, and of course the real Dvorak is John's. Now I've been hearing more and more about these smart pills, like the ones Bradley Cooper took in the movie Limitless. Remember that?
No.
So in the movie Limitless, Bradley Cooper. Some people say it's a 2-hour Adderall commercial, but he takes this little round, translucent pill. It looks like a button. But a clear button, just takes his pill. And as soon as he takes this thing, within a couple of moments, all of a sudden clarity hits. And all of a sudden his head is moving in a different direction where he can read a book, he can learn languages, he can do all these, I mean, very fast.
Wasn't there a TV series that had something about a guy who took a pill and he could do all this stuff?
The series is called Limitless also.
Right.
Yep. So this new thing I've heard about, somebody said to me the other day, oh my gosh, have you heard these things are available now? I said, what is available? Oh, the NZ17 or NZ whatever it's called, like on this Limitless. But I said, "What are you talking about? That's not a real thing." Oh, it is. They said, "Look, check this out." I saw these ads. I said, "Oh gosh." So these things are called, I think they're called nootropics. Nootropics.
No, yeah.
Nootropics. There are these prescription drugs that they say that are these. Brain enhancers.
There's a bunch of them
called Provigil or
Provigil is not a brain enhancer. That's a wake up pill.
Right, but that's the ones that people are taking. It seems, and they call it the Provigil? Smart pills. Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's not. It doesn't make you any smarter. In fact, my son is kind of a hobbyist with these things. Not that he uses a bunch of pills, but he looks into the details of all these things because he figures if he wants to learn language or something, is there a pill you can take to make it easier?
Mm-hmm.
So he's done a lot of research.
Well, this is this called
and Provigil. Well, I've also taken Provigil.
Oh,
and? Oh yeah, a number of times.
Does it?
Well,
does,
I'll tell you what it is.
Yeah, what does it do?
I use Provigil if I have to drive. If I decide I'm going to go up to Washington State, I'm going to drive instead of fly. I'll take a Provigil and I'll time it because it lasts only about 12 hours. If it, after 12 hours, you don't want to take another one, you never get to sleep. It's just a, it's a, the Air Force pilots use it. A lot of people use it for this sort of thing. You will be nice and wide awake for the whole trip. The research indicates, and you will be, and it's great because if you, you know, you don't want to doze off on the Highway 5, which is very dozable because it's boring. Mm. And so you take Provigil, boom, you're on your way. And it was used by the lot of government pilots, and people use it, and truck drivers use it instead of Benzedrine, and it's safer because it doesn't really change anything. All it does is make you more alert. When it comes to learning, according to my son who's looked into this, you can't learn anything on Provigil. Whatever you think you're going to remember, you'll forget. It's, well, like the worst thing to take. Like, if, for example, with Provigil, you'll be, you know, say there's some really boring book you have to read. So you decide to take a Provigil. You can read it now. You can. You won't put you asleep. I have a lot of books I read that just, right, you're, yeah, out.
Absolutely.
Take, you read it before bed and you go to get a great night's sleep. With Provigil, you can, you're wide awake for the whole read. But apparently, your retention stinks. Mm. So that drug is out for that, any sort of.
Well, you start looking on the web. There's all sorts of stuff about this modafinil.
Modafinil is Provigil.
Yeah, right. And these other things that are, they're all over the web, as, and you could buy these.
That's because it became public domain sometime about 2 years ago.
Yep.
It used to be like $10 a pill, and now it's a dollar.
Oh. Well, it seems it's all the rage on the young people. I think it's the new limitless pill.
I wouldn't advise it.
Mm-hmm. Last thing before we get to some of the other areas of the show, the meat and potatoes of the show, like our Close to the Pin and a few other things, I want to mention that after the close of the markets today, there's a late entry into the discussion. After the close of the market today, an announcement that Ackman's Pershing Square hedge fund took a 9.5% or so position in Chipotle.
Why is anybody taking their position in Chipotle? It's jinxed.
Well, he thinks that he can meet with, you know, he's magical. You know, see all the good he did with JCPenney and the work that he did with some of the drug companies. I mean, he's magic, right? So he's going to get in there and he's going to work with management as an activist investor to fix things because he knows about restaurants. Not. But he's going to get in there and, you know, because it has a stable flow of income and obviously it's not like some of the last things he touched. So shares were up 7.5% after the close.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a short opportunity.
You are short.
I'm still short. I'm short?
Yep.
I thought that was bounced out some time ago.
Nope. You just did it last week.
Oh, that's right. I can't remember.
Well, that's because you take a Provigil all the time. Provigil.
Because of the Provigil.
Anyway.
So here's a joke that we both knew what it was. We just never got to it.
Yeah. Anyway, if you love the show, you want to make us happy and you want to let us know how great how much you love us and all the good things, you can make a donation. Go over to dhunplugged.com and click on the donate button. You can set up for one time or a recurring payment, whatever you feel compelled to do. We're not going to try to guilt you into anything, are we?
Not yet.
Not yet. We get closer to retirement, and it's not exactly where we need to be. So anyway, you can go over there and donate. Let's talk about the closest to the pin. So currently, Twitter is the closest to the pin stock that is running, and we have probably a good 100-plus participants in this, and we're going to have it till the end of the week or so, and then we'll announce a winner. But we do need to announce a couple things. First of all, announcing the winner for the first inaugural Closest to the Pin Cup for August 2016, where we put it once a month, and all the winners of this particular side contest, if you will be put into an end-of-year contest. Mm-hmm. And then they'll be able to... I still haven't figured out how I'm going to actually just limit it to them, but I'll figure that out. They're going to be able to go and... compete for the grand prize at the end of the year. But right now, the winner of the first one was Greg W., who was just a small amount, a penny away from the actual prize.
Impressive.
Now you can go and register and put in your price guess for the next one for September. It's currently running over on DH Unplugged, and see all the other ones that have been in play. There's charts that you can take a look at and all sorts of other information that will help you decide on a technical basis, maybe, on where the Dow Jones Industrial Average. And I'll note is that last month, due to some technical matters, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was referenced as the ETF DIA. We went with that. But from now on, we're going to use the actual Dow Jones Industrial Average as the actual component number for the cup. So there we go. I don't know if I mentioned this, but I think I mentioned this. We did update the old Codger index portfolio. So we're going to give it a few weeks and see how that does against the Millennials ETF.
Right.
And this is a challenge between some of the old line stocks and those that would be related to non-millennials, we'll say, and those stocks that are related to millennials like Facebook, LinkedIn, Amazon, et cetera, Home Depot. And
I think after the election is when our group will shine.
So somehow you're identifying, for whatever reason, with the old Codger portfolio.
Yeah.
Okay. Just checking.
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm obviously an old Codger in this game.
Now, Twitter, as we mentioned, is the current close to the pin. But also the interesting thing about Twitter recently has been moving pretty significantly. I think it's above $20 now. As a matter of fact, it was down part of the day today, and then it ended up higher for the day. There's a big buzz about it being a buyout candidate.
Oh, yeah. So, well, that's been going on for a while.
But now it's starting to heat up.
Yeah, and I forgot who the buyout people were going to be, Microsoft or Salesforce or some. I can't remember. I remember reading about it being a buyout candidate with these suggested suitors. But
I don't see why Salesforce would want to buy them.
No, it's just crazy. I think, well, Verizon bought Yahoo.
Well, yeah.
Couldn't be any crazier than that. I don't know why. No, Salesforce wouldn't be one. I think Microsoft would be one. Who else?
I mean, I can see maybe Verizon just trying to do another grab of
I mean, the logical property. One is Google.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
They won't do it.
It's pocket
they were given the opportunity a couple of times, I think.
Yeah, who knows? But, you know, LinkedIn is gone now, owned by Microsoft. And
See, there's another crazy thing. Why?
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know what that's about. I mean, it looks like they were just money was burning a hole in their pocket or something.
Yeah, and they haven't changed anything. I mean, I'm a big LinkedIn user, and there was nothing changed at all. I mean, Microsoft hasn't put its imprint on the product in any way that I can see.
I don't think they're going to. They said that they're going to run it as an independent company. Yeah. So it's interesting. You know, that's interesting because the company was really falling. It was really falling behind. Its advertising was down. And you would think that a company would come in and say, we're going to buy this because we think the synergies are going to be good and we're going to be able to do this and then you know, offset some of the expense. No, we're going to run it as an independent company.
Yeah, we're going to let it, it's a piece, it's a dog. So we're going to just let it be a dog and that'll be that.
Let's see what happens. We'll see if our bet of multi-billion
dollars. You know, it's just a write-off for us anyway. So who cares?
So crazy. What? I don't know. I guess the potential is that everybody's just looking at, they all look at Facebook and they kind of then take they extract, okay, well, Facebook is making this money and they're online and they have people that go to their site because they sign up and they talk about things. So therefore the other companies that do the same thing should do well.
Yeah. It's just the follow along.
Yeah. Theory. That's the whole theory behind the whole thing. But I don't really necessarily think that LinkedIn, I think there's a bona fide place for LinkedIn. However, there's also something to be said about having too many of the same things and a consolidation in the industry. I don't see any reason why Facebook Business or a Facebook, they have pages, they have business pages. Why can't you have like a business profile page in Facebook and that'll just kill LinkedIn?
Yeah, that's what you'd think, but I think they already missed the boat on that.
I talked about it a few times.
LinkedIn, you know, is LinkedIn. I mean, I don't have a Facebook account. There's a couple of Facebook accounts that people say they're me, but I don't have a Facebook account in reality. Right. People friendly or whatever, they're just fooling themselves. I do have a LinkedIn account. I have a Twitter account. LinkedIn is enough. I like LinkedIn for a couple of reasons. The main one is when doing like the No Agenda show, or maybe some lesser extent this show, you can look people up and get a pretty good handle on, just like in it for intelligence gathering. They're all in there, and people got their backgrounds and what they're up to and what they went to school and all this data. It's like, geez, okay, thanks. I think it's handy. Twitter's, you know, for the interaction.
Well, a couple of things we're going to talk about, I guess. Let's see here. There's some very interesting things here. I guess there's some survey and some information coming out that sports like golf, bowling, and running are slowing down in terms of new young advocates of those various sports. And now things like paddleboarding and mixed martial arts is coming up.
Yeah, there's the thing I want to do.
Paddleboarding or... Mixed
martial arts, just go in there and have the crap beat out of you.
I don't get it.
I don't think this is really something that the public should be involved with.
I live on the water.
Paddleboarding is inconvenient.
I live on the water, and I see these people schlepping by with their paddleboards. And every time, I'm like, that looks so awful. Just looks so painful and not worth it. Just schlep it along. They're just going down the river. I'm like, where are you going? What are you doing? I don't get the whole thing. Anyway, it's one of the fastest growing categories, seemingly enough. About 3 million people are paddleboarding these days, but good for them. Anthony Weiner. I was wondering, have you seen his movie, the documentary?
No, I haven't.
You know,
it's supposed to be pretty kind of cringeworthy.
Yeah, that's what I heard also. And I was wondering, do you think there's any coincidence that this movie is out and now we have this new picture emerging with him sexting a bulge in his white underwear with his kid, 4-year-old kid, laying next to him?
Yeah.
And is it possibly he's trying to, like, do this for a publicity stunt to, you know, really highlight the movie?
I don't know that he makes anything off the movie.
No?
I don't know.
You think you're just
allowed? Maybe he does. All I know is that Adam pointed this out on the last show we did, that picture of him with the kid was actually from over a year ago. And it took a year to get it for the press to get hold of it or what? So everyone was sitting on it. And they decided to bring out, you know, oh, this guy's horrible. And they bring it out. Meanwhile, it's not, this thing is beyond weird.
I'm with you. Well, Goldman Sachs has now banned all of its partners for making campaign contributions to state and local candidates running for office, as well as state or local officials running for federal office. So they all of a sudden, but they didn't ban, it seems, they banned contributions to state and local candidates, as well as state or local officials running for federal office. So, but they didn't ban just, I guess, people running for any federal office. So you can, I guess, give to them, but you can't give to these other people for some reason.
Give to your senator, but you can't, or Hillary, but you can't give to your mayor?
Yeah.
Why? It makes no sense.
Maybe they think that there's undue influence on the local
level. Is that the idea?
Yeah, well, of course. Isn't that the whole point of it?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Absolutely. So just another, probably something just so they could put out a headline.
There's something part of that story we're missing.
Mm-hmm. ITT Educational Services, you know that group, right?
Yeah, they've been around forever.
Yep, not anymore. Done. No. Shut down. Gone.
But I guess a lot of these schools have been, I don't know what's going on, but this is very suspicious. I did have a friend of mine used to be a big investor in, he's a venture capitalist. And I saw maybe 6 years ago, and he was in the process of buying up all these private universities that were available to buy, and it was an investment scam of some sort, and he had a whole bunch of them, and then and they were making money somehow. I didn't get the details, but then I saw him again like 3 years later, and he had dumped all of them. He says, these things are going to lose, this is going to be terrible, and this is no good. And he kind of predicted this situation, and I'm irked that I didn't pay much attention to him at the time.
Well, it's over. They did. There was 130 campuses, 40,000 students, and who knows who's going to get their money back and who's not.
Nobody's getting their money back.
Yeah. So,
yeah, that was a major operation.
I guess the government's going to incur some.
And I guess DeVry, I guess same situation.
Yeah, there's a few of them. There's a few of these.
These are all brand names, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, these guys, you know, it's like anything else. You know, they went after the easy money. They went after, you know, government-sponsored educational funding. And very aggressively. Made a lot of money, but and then maybe obviously didn't train anybody to do anything. Or at least fell short of their promises.
Yeah, it's almost like you had a nice company that was doing a good business, but then you decided to turn into a Ponzi scheme or a, you know, one of those.
It's greedy.
Yeah. Well, they saw what the guy at the University of Phoenix had done. You know, this guy was rolling in dough, still is. And they said, well, we can't be like that guy.
Right. And then you become a public company, so then you have to keep on making the income to keep up with the markets and keep the markets happy. So that puts undue pressure on you. It seems a little bit kind of, I mean, we know they're a for-profit enterprise, fine. But it seems like, you know, then they're going to be on the markets too. I mean, I don't know, something about education and then being on the market. Just something is out of line with that. It doesn't set up very well. So a couple more quick things before we get to the stocks. GE is seemingly paying a whole chunk of money to acquire two European leaders in what they call additive manufacturing machines or 3D printers. They're offering about $1.4 billion to two different companies, about 10 times the combined revenues. So pretty significant stocks.
10x revenue? Yep. Wow.
Mm-hmm. They must have really liked these companies.
They must have something going on.
I don't know. Need a lot of cogs and plastic bolts or something. A couple of more things very quickly. A New Zealand pizza chain is becoming the first company in the world to offer a commercial drone delivery service for your pizza.
That'd be kind of a good use of the drones.
Yep. Yeah. And Boston.
Here comes the pizza.
We'll see if that gets there.
Hey, somebody has to go outside and catch it.
I don't know how that's going to work. You know, a little bit of a move this way or that way. I guess it happens when regular delivery too, but.
You must have a guy controlling it because they can't, the pizza, the drone can't just do it automatically. It'll end up dropping it off the roof or something.
So how many people do you have to have doing these drones at once?
Well, see, that's the problem.
Yeah.
Well, I could imagine the following. You could have a drone on autopilot till it gets to the location where it can then stop and then let somebody take it over. Like a pilot in the bay holding around big giant boats. So the boat comes all the way over the ocean and then the pilot gets on and finishes the job. So that would be probably efficient. I think the whole thing's a joke.
Mm-hmm. And finally, Boston's largest police union is headed to court to try to halt a program requiring officers to wear body cameras, which just screams of impropriety and they don't want to be seen with what they're doing.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah. All right, let's get to the stocks. This is not a recommendation to buy any securities that we mentioned. It's just a game simply that we play to come up with some ideas on what could be a great idea for a stock. And we, of course, recommend that you seek professional financial advice before investing in any of these things and do your homework because we are not responsible. John C. Dvorak, myself, Horowitz Company clients may own any of the stocks mentioned, and we'll note those if that's the case. We have a list. A few things got kicked off. I got whacked on Weibo pretty fast.
Yeah, Weibo.
I got a good note from a client, from a listener on that and telling me why Weibo is doing so well and went to a whole discussion about it, which was, I thought, interesting. And he was right. So that was, that just went right up. Let's see here. We got kicked off on Viper Energy Partners as well.
Yeah, that's mine.
Small loss. But everything else, your Netflix, doing great. It's at $100. It broke 100 today on the upside. Pretty amazing.
Yeah. I think that was,
it's awesome.
It's funny.
That was awesome.
The Netflix is way up. The Barclays, which you share, is up. The Advanced Auto Parts is up. And then the one I liked is that I just picked Penske last week and it's already up 3%. And today, if I didn't have it picked, I would have picked it today because another bunch of guys inside the company are buying more of it.
Really?
So Penske's got something going on.
Mm.
And,
that sector or that type of company is, I think they are ripe for some consolidation.
Could be.
Maybe that's what's
going on. That would be one of the companies you want to grab.
Yeah. Otherwise, things are kind of holding in there. I don't have any picks for this week. I didn't find any conviction in anything.
I have the same. Yeah, same with me. I didn't get anything.
Nothing. How boring are we?
I looked at a couple of things. Let me see what they are. Nimble Storage.
Mm-hmm.
At $8. One of the directors is buying a little bit of it. That's an interesting company. Small little operation. And then Spark Networks, there's a director buying little pieces of it. We're talking about $16,000. These are small-time operations. But he's buying LOV. Might be worth checking out. The big guys are still Advanced Auto Parts and Penske. And more insiders going there. And it's just like, well, I'm already there without those. And so I got nothing.
All right, well, we'll hopefully have something next week. And, of course, you can listen in on DH Unplugged and find all the notes and items of interest and links and things that we talk about and charts and things like that on the show notes each and every week over on dhunplugged.com. So you can check that out on the site itself. Of course, look for the old Codgers portfolio versus millennials, the stock picks, which we have a live feed that all these things that we discuss here are actually ticking live on the website. You can go over there and see how we're performing, where it was picked, what date it was picked, what the price was entry, etc., what's closed, what's open. And of course, you can go over and check out the Close to the Pin competition as well over on DH Unplugged. Now, if that wasn't enough, you can listen to John C. Dvorak each and every week with Adam Curry on the No Agenda Show, a winner of a podcast award this year. And
the best news podcast.
Yeah, best news podcast. And as we always say, it should be the best produced, but that was my vote. And the Disciplined Investor also on iTunes or other podcasting devices, networks. What do they call them? The old name, podcatchers. Let's call them podcatchers.
Podcatchers.
You can listen there as well. Follow John C. Dvorak at The Real Dvorak on Twitter. And myself, Andrew Horowitz, one word. On Twitter as well. So that's about it.
Excellent summary.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Well, it's always a pleasure.
We'll talk again next Tuesday.
Right. I look forward to it.
All right.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, 'cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.